Pila Muni has described devotional service in each of the three modes of material nature. And then he described transcendental devotional service, the symptoms of transcendental service, in a positive way what it is, and in a negative way what it is, what it isn't. There is no desire within the heart of a pure devotee, and that is what pure devotee means, is that his desire is pure. There is no adulteration. There is no contamination. There is nothing sitting in his heart other than the desire to please Krishna. What exalted consciousness. Pure consciousness. And this is the natural consciousness of the soul. So, when one is pure, the symptoms of that purity were described in text 11 and 12, the positive symptoms, with the verse Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sava Guhasaye Manogati Avitena Tina Yata Gangam Basho Ambudha. And then Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Negunasya Hi Udharitam Ahaituki Avyavahita Ya Bhakti Purushottama. So Madguna Sruti Matrena, in the pure soul, he has a natural and spontaneous attraction to hear about Krishna. And in Krishna Katha, in hearing about Krishna, he experiences Krishna due to his purity, because the very nature of the Bhagavatam or Krishna Katha is that it is Krishna when spoken properly, of course. It is Krishna. So the pure receiver of the transcendental sound vibration, he experiences Krishna directly in that. So therefore Sukadeva Goswami, he could speak for 7 days without stopping. And Prickett Maharaj, 7 days, 7 nights, 24 hours a day, and Prickett Maharaj could just hear, absorb in the sweet flow of the nectar of experiencing Krishna through the topics of Krishna. This is wonderful. And the Goswamis of Vrindavan, how wonderful. 20 hours a day they would chant and speak about Krishna. 22 hours a day they would chant hundreds of rounds, continuously chanting Krishna's names. They would, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gananatavi, he would be paying his obeisances hundreds of times a day to Vrindavan and different parts of Vrindavan. All day long, fully satisfied, practically speaking, giving up nidrahara vahara kardi vijito, giving up all sleeping and eating, anything to do with the body, just satisfied, connected on the spiritual platform, on the soul platform. So this is the feature of exalted consciousness, of pure devotional service, being connected to Krishna's spiritual energy. And the soul, the person himself, being fully satisfied. So happy, fully satisfied. So after describing the symptoms of pure devotional service, and they are very attractive, and we can just imagine that even the description in the Salokya Shashi Samipya, that they don't want Bina Mat Sevanam Jana, that they are so enlivened spiritually. These souls are so happy, joyous, prasanatma, so joyous, that they won't trade that service for anything, even liberation, even being on the same planet as Krishna, even looking like Krishna, having full opulences of Krishna. They won't trade that for anything. Raghunath Das Goswami, an old man, eating just a little chats buttermilk and crying all day long. And he won't trade that, his seat at Radhakund, for being the king of heaven and enjoying anything that the mind can imagine. So we can just imagine the sweetness that he's tasting. Because always we will trade something for something better. We upgrade our computers, we upgrade. Now everyone upgrades things. They upgrade their cars, they upgrade their jobs, they upsize, downsize, or whatever. So we upgrade to get something better. But there is no upgrading from pure devotional service. So naturally, after hearing these glories of pure devotional service, and one transcends the modes of material nature very easily, then naturally one wants to know how to execute the sadhana, the practices that will give us that sadhya, or goal, of pure devotion. So in text 15 through 18, Kapila Muni will describe how to execute, prosecute, perform pure devotional service. And Prabhupada explains things in his purports, and we will read. So again, we will read quite a few purports or parts of them. So everyone, please listen very carefully. And think carefully as we hear this, how I can apply this to my own life, to my own consciousness. And of course, no one can force us. No one can force us because it is our own responsibility to make advancement. No one will force us. No one can force us. But we, if we hear properly and if we get proper association and we have sincerity, we of course will desire to make advancement. So there are some very wonderful instructions, encouraging instructions. So in text 15, how to execute pure devotional service. A devotee must execute his prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit. Without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one's devotional activities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. One has to execute his prescribed duties according to his social position as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas. Everyone has duties to perform. Or no matter what we do in this world, we have a job to do. So that job, according to our position, demands that we act in a particular way. So everyone should execute his prescribed duties according to his position. The prescribed duties of the four classes of men in human society are also described in Bhagavad Gita. The activities of brahmanas are to control the senses and to become simple, clean, learned devotees. The kshatriyas have the spirit for ruling. They are not afraid on the battlefield and they are charitable. The Vaishyas, or mercantile class of men, trade in commodities, protect cows, and develop agricultural produce. The Sudras, or laborer class, serve the higher classes because they themselves are not very intelligent. So today, generally speaking, no one is classified according to these are called Vanas, according to the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. But we still are situated in particular. We have a particular job to do. Now, Prabhupada continues. From every position, regardless of what our job is, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, swakarmanatab abhyarcha, regardless of what one's position is, one can serve the Supreme Lord by performing one's prescribed duties. It is not only that the brahmanas can serve the Supreme Lord and not the sudras. Anyone can serve the Supreme Lord by performing his prescribed duties under the direction of a spiritual master or representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one should think that his prescribed duties are inferior. A Brahmana can serve the Lord by using his intelligence, and the Kshatriya can serve the Supreme Lord by using his military arts, just as Arjuna served Krishna. Arjuna was a warrior. He had no time to study Vedanta or other highly intellectual books. The damsels in Brajabhumi were girls born of the Vaishya class, and they engaged in protecting cows and producing agriculture. Krishna's foster father, Nanda Maharaj, and his associates were all Vaishyas. They were not at all educated, but they could serve Krishna by loving him and by offering everything to him. Similarly, there are many instances in which Chandals, or those lower than Sudras, have served Krishna. Also, the sage Vidura was considered a Sudra because his mother happened to be a Sudra. There are no distinctions, for it is declared by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita that anyone engaged specifically in devotional service is elevated to the transcendental position without a doubt. Everyone's prescribed duty is glorious if it is performed in devotional service of the Lord without desire for profit. Such loving service must be performed without reason, without trying to get anything in return, just for the pleasure of Krishna. Without impediment, that means if one desires to serve Krishna, there is nothing that can impede or stop that service, or to stop him from serving. We may be stopped in one particular way, but if we want to serve, we will serve. We will serve, we will serve. Such loving service must be performed without reason, without impediment, and spontaneously. What does spontaneously mean? Without thinking too much. Without thinking too much, yeah.
Without considering oneself.
Without considering oneself. What does spontaneously mean? Instinctively, it's just springing. The desire to serve is springing from the heart's natural affection for Krishna. Not because someone is saying you have to do it. It's springing from the natural affection of the heart. So such devotion is wonderful. And Krishna is lovable. And one has to serve him in whatever capacity one can. That is pure devotional service. So here, so the first instruction of Kapila Muni is, whatever position you're in, whatever your prescribed duty is, you serve Krishna and it is glorious. But serve according to your position. Don't think only if I was in that position, this one is inferior. Or on the other hand, don't think, oh, I am in this position is superior. Because what is superior, what is inferior, when we're all tiny, insignificant servants? We're all just servants, and all we can do is make a loving, spontaneous offering to Krishna from the heart. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yomam bhakta prayachati tarahama bhaktu paritam aslami. I will take it when you offer me even a leaf, some fruit, a flower, some water. But if it is offered with devotion, it is offered with devotion, I will take it. So what do we really have to put in our offerings, whatever they are, the devotion? So that's the first instruction. One should regularly perform one's devotional activities without excessive violence. Text 16. The devotees should regularly see my statues in the temple, the deities, Achyavigraha. Touch my lotus feet and offer worshipable paraphernalia and prayer. He should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness and see every living entity as spiritual. Now, we should see the deity. We should, the instruction is to see the deity regularly in the temple, touch the lotus feet of the Lord, and offer worshipable paraphernalia, offer different things to the Lord, and prayer. We should offer prayers to the Lord. Now, we should see in the spirit of renunciation, and then from the mode of goodness, and he should see every living entity as spiritual. Now, this point of seeing every living entity as spiritual, as a soul, regardless of their body, Kapila Muni is going to speak of quite a lot in the succeeding verses. Because if we see as bodies, if we see each other as bodies, what does anyone have in common with everyone? Nothing, practically speaking. If we see, though, as everyone is a soul, see spiritually, then we see the Father, Krishna, and everyone is a son of Krishna. Aham bija bala pita. And then there is a natural affinity, a natural desire to help, natural compassion, natural affection. Because naturally one has affection for one's family members. Prabhupada says, temple worship is one of the duties of a devotee. It is especially recommended for neophytes. But those who are advanced should not refrain from temple worship. There is a distinction in the manner of a neophyte and an advanced devotee appreciate the Lord's presence in the temple, in the manner in which a neophyte and an advanced devotee appreciate the Lord's presence in the temple. A neophyte considers the Archivigraha, the deity, the statue of the Lord, to be different from the original personality of Godhead. He considers it a representation of the Supreme Lord in the form of a deity. But an advanced devotee accepts the deity in the temple as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not see any difference between the original form of the Lord and the statue or archer form of the Lord in the temple. That is the vision of a devotee whose devotional service is in the highest stage of bhava, or love of Godhead, whereas a neophyte's worship in the temple is a matter of routine duty. We'll skip one paragraph. Although a devotee sees all living entities on the level of spiritual existence, he is not interested in associating with everyone. Simply because a tiger is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord does not mean that we embrace him because of his spiritual relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there is the spiritual vision or the spiritual truth, and then there is the practical application of that truth. And to know how to apply the practical application of spiritual truths to the current time and circumstances takes wisdom. We should befriend and offer special respects to persons who are developed in Krishna consciousness. Other living entities are undoubtedly part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But because their consciousness is still covered and not developed in Krishna consciousness, we should renounce their association. It is said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that even if one is a Vaishnava, if he is not of good character, his company should be avoided, although he may be offered the respects of a Vaishnava. Anyone who accepts Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted as a Vaishnava. But a Vaishnava is expected to develop all the good qualities of the demigods. The exact meaning of the word sattvena is given by Sridhar Swami as being synonymous with dharyena or patience. One must perform devotional service with great patience. One should not give up the execution of devotional service because one or two attempts have not been successful. One must continue. Srila Rupa Goswami also confirms that one should be very enthusiastic and execute devotional service with patience and confidence. Patience is necessary for developing the confidence that Krishna will certainly accept me because I am engaging in devotional service. One has only to execute service according to the rules and regulations to ensure success. So first verse that we read, how to execute prescribed duties. And if they are offered to Krishna, they are glorious. And one should do one's duties without the desire to gain anything material, but see those duties as an opportunity to serve Krishna. Then here, always or regularly see the deity in the temple and offer worshipable, offer things to the deity and be renounced and see every living entity as spiritual, but act practically and be patient and be determined and have confidence of Krishna's care and protection. Text 17. The pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the acharya. Acharyo pasamam. One should worship an acharya, a spiritual master who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. The predecessors of the spiritual master are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas must be given the highest respect. It is stated, Gurusu Naramati. Gurusu means unto the acharyas, and Naramati means thinking like a common man. To think of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste or community. To think of the acharyas as ordinary men, or to think of the deity in the temple as being made of stone, wood, or metal is condemned. Niyamena, one should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. A devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to devotional vision, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas, such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they used to live beneath a different tree every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty-stricken. But from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting in spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them in Krishna consciousness. So many instructions on how to execute our Krishna consciousness that elevates us, so it will elevate us. So enlightening others, that is one of the duties of a devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on an equal level with himself or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendship with ordinary persons. He should make friendship with other devotees so that by discussing amongst themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishtagosti. So We have istagostis. This is the purpose of istagosti, to discuss in a friendly fashion amongst the devotees from different angles, shastra, so that everyone is elevated by hearing each other's realizations. In Bhagavad Gita, there is reference to bodhayantas parasparam, discussing amongst themselves. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya amongst themselves. There are innumerable books such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads, which contain countless subjects for discussion amongst two devotees or more. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interest and understanding. Such persons are said to be sadjati, of the same jati, or caste, or family. The devotee should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard understanding, even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna. If his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should steadily control the senses and the mind and strictly follow the rules and regulations, and he should make friendship with persons of the same standard. Text 18, more instructions. This will be the last verse and purport of Kapila Dev's instructions on how to execute devotional service. A devotee, Kapila Muni says, should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his time in chanting the holy name of the Lord. His behavior should be straightforward and simple. And although he is not envious but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. Prabhupada's purport. In order to advance in spiritual understanding, one has to hear from authentic sources about spiritual knowledge. One can understand the reality of spiritual life by following strict regulative principles and by controlling the senses. To have control, it is necessary that one be nonviolent and truthful, refraining from stealing, abstain from sex life, and possess only that which is absolutely necessary for keeping the body and soul together. One should not eat more than necessary. He should not collect more paraphernalia than necessary. He should not talk unnecessarily with common men. And he should not follow the rules and regulations without purpose. He should follow the rules and regulations so that he may actually make advancement. There are 18 qualifications mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, amongst which is simplicity. One should be without pride. One should not demand unnecessary respect from others, and one should be nonviolent. Amanina tam adambitam ahimsa. One should be very tolerant and simple. One should accept the spiritual master, and one should control the senses. These are mentioned here and in Bhagavad Gita as well. One should hear from authentic sources how to advance in spiritual life. Such instructions should be taken from the acharya and should be assimilated. We should take them and digest them. When we eat some food, we assimilate that food by the process of digestion, and that food is turned into our body, our very substance. So similarly, we should take these instructions and ingest them, then digest them, and then assimilate them and make them part of our life. It is especially mentioned here, Nama Sankirtanascha. One should chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, either individually or with others. Lord Chaitanya has given special stress to chanting of these holy names of the Lord as the basic principle of spiritual advancement. Another word used here is arjavena, meaning without diplomacy. A devotee should not make plans out of self-interest. Of course, preachers sometimes have to make some plan to execute the mission of the Lord under proper guidance, but regarding personal self-interest, the devotee should always be without diplomacy, and he should avoid the company of persons who are not advancing in spiritual life. Another word is arja. Aryans are persons who are advancing in knowledge of Krishna consciousness as well as in material prosperity. The difference between the Aryans and non-Aryans, the Suras and the Asuras, is in their standard of spiritual advancement. Association with persons who are not spiritually advanced is forbidden. Lord Chaitanya advised asat sanga tyag. One should avoid persons who are attached to the temporary. Asat is one who is too materially attached, who is not a devotee of the Lord, and who is too attached to women or enjoyable material things. Such a person, according to Vaishnava philosophy, is a persona non grata. A devotee should not be proud of his acquisitions. The symptoms of a devotee are meekness and humility. Although spiritually very advanced, he will always remain meek and humble, as Kaviraj Goswami and all the other Vaishnavas have taught us by personal example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that one should be humbler than the grass on the street and more tolerant than the tree. One should be not proud or falsely puffed up. In this way, one will surely advance in spiritual life. So, these are instructions that we should assimilate. Text 19. When one is fully qualified with these transcendental attributes, and his consciousness is thus completely purified, so when one follows carefully, then one becomes purified. What does purified mean? It means that the impurities, the anattas, anything that adulterates or contaminates or is added to our pure consciousness, which is Jivara Sarupoi Krishna Nityadas, servant of Krishna, everything is removed. The impurities are removed by following the process as described. So when one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing of my transcendental qualities. So that was what was described in text 11 and 12 in that Madguna Shruti Matrena verse, that when one is pure, when one is performing transcendental pure devotional service, not contaminated by the modes of material nature, that one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the symptom. That is, one has a taste for that. So purity means basically the platform of nishta. Tado rajas tamo bhava kama lobhyas chaye. That rajatama, passion, and ignorance are gone, and one is fixed. Stitam sattva prasiddhati. One is fixed in nishta, or fixed in the mode of goodness, and he's not being bounced around by the lower modes of material nature. And then, when one is on that platform, then one can attain the taste. That's the point. When one is pure, then a steady taste for Krishna consciousness, one likes it. One likes to hear. That develops in the heart. So he's immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing my transcendental qualities. Text 20. As the chariot of air carries an aroma from its source, and it immediately catches the sense of smell. So we don't have to willingly do that. When a pleasant, sweet aroma comes, sometimes when you're walking somewhere and suddenly the scent of the forest flowers, enters our nostrils, the chariot of the wind, chariot of air, carries that aroma from its source, and it catches the sense of smell. Similarly, one who constantly engages in devotional service, so this is the result of one who always engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, he can catch the Supreme Soul who is equally present everywhere. So when one is engaging in devotional service constantly, his consciousness becomes saturated. Saturated. What do you think of when you think of saturated? It's an interesting word. What picture comes to your mind with the word saturated? Huh?
A wet cloth.
A what?
Wet cloth.
A wet cloth. What is the quality of a wet cloth?
It's wet.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's wet. What? How wet is it?
Very wet.
One could even saturate it. What's the difference between a damp cloth and a saturated cloth? Is a damp cloth wet?
Yes.
But what is a saturated cloth? Yeah, it's completely full. Every pore, every thread or a sponge, it's saturated. It's full. Every bit of its existence is full of that water or fluid. So when one's consciousness is saturated by Krishna consciousness, like the wet cloth is saturated. How do you get a cloth saturated? Just immerse it in water and it absorbs. So we have, in other words, when one becomes immersed in Krishna consciousness, one absorbs everything. So all one's existence is absorbed. Then one can see, one can catch the Supreme Soul who is equally present everywhere. So when one is Krishna conscious, one everywhere he looks, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santasadaya Varadayeshu Valokayanti. He will see Krishna everywhere he looks. For one whose consciousness is saturated in this way with Krishna consciousness. And on the other hand, one whose consciousness is not saturated in Krishna consciousness will be saying, show me God. I can't see him anywhere. Haranyakashipu, show me. If your God is everywhere, show me. Prahlad, he's right in the pillar. I don't see him. I'll kill him. I'll hit the pillar with my sword or my fist or something. I will take the atoms. God is in every atom between. I will smash the atoms. I will go in outer space. There's no God there. But a devotee saturated in Krishna consciousness, there's no place he looks in that he doesn't see Krishna. So the difference isn't at what they're looking at. The difference is the saturation. What is saturating their consciousness? So that is the big issue. What do we want to saturate our consciousness with? And according to that, according to what our consciousness is saturated with, we will see. So Krishna says, I'm there. Do you want to see me? Well, you practice devotional service in this way, you will see me everywhere. You'll catch me. I am present in every living entity. 21. Now we're going to read 21 to 27. And then we'll read some of the purports. I am present in every living entity as the super soul. If someone neglects or disregards that super soul everywhere and engages himself in worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation. Krishna is in everyone's heart. And if we neglect people and only worship the deity, that's imitation worship. One who worships the deity, 22, of Godhead in the temple, but does not know that the Supreme Lord is Paramatma, is situated in every living entity's heart, must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations into ashes. What does it mean? What is the meaning of offering oblations, offering ghee into ashes instead of the fire? Is there any use in that? No, it's useless. One who offers me respect, offers me respect, Kapila Muni says, Krishna respect, but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist, never attains peace of mind because of his inimical behavior towards other living entities. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. Performing his prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of other living entities as well. So this is one of the main purposes of the deity worship. As the blazing fire of death, as the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior, and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me, satisfy me, who abides in all creatures as their very self. Interesting. Gives us some hint how we should deal with others. So now we'll read some of Prabhupada's purports to those verses. I am present in every living entity as the super soul. If someone neglects or disregards the super soul everywhere and engages himself in the worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation, Prabhupada's purport. In purified consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one sees the presence of Krishna everywhere. If, therefore, one only engages in deity worship in the temple and does not consider other living entities, then he is in the lowest grade of devotional service. Indeed, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, this is described as a prakriti bhakti, or bhakti praya, or like a bhakti, like a devotee, a materialistic devotee. One who worships the deity in the temple and does not show respect to others is a devotee on the material platform in the lowest stage of devotional service. A devotee should try to understand everything in relationship with Krishna and try to serve everything in that spirit. To serve everything means to engage everything in the service of Krishna. Such a nice concept. We should serve everything. Not only the people, but everything. And everyone. Not only the deity, but everyone, but not only everyone, everything. And how to serve everything? By, it is meant for Krishna's service. We should try to serve everything in that spirit. To serve everything means to engage everything in the service of Krishna. If a person is innocent and does not know his relationship with Krishna, an advanced devotee should try to engage him in the service of Krishna. One who is advanced in Krishna consciousness can engage not only the living being, but everything in the service of Krishna. Text 22. Prabhupada's purport. We'll read some of his purport. If, without this preliminary knowledge of the Lord's omnipresence, that Krishna is everywhere, one simply attaches himself to the rituals in a temple, church, or mosque, it is as if he were offering butter into ashes rather than into the fire. One offers sacrifices by pouring clarified butter into a fire and chanting Vedic mantras. But even if there are Vedic mantras and all conditions are favorable, if the clarified butter is poured on ashes, then such a sacrifice will be useless. In other words, a devotee should not ignore any living entity. The devotee must know that in every living entity, however insignificant he may be, even an ant, God is present, and therefore every living entity should be kindly treated and should not be subjected to any violence. In modern civilized society, slaughterhouses are regularly maintained and supported by a certain type of religious principle. But without knowledge of the presence of God in every living entity, any so-called advancement of human civilization, either spiritual or material, is to be understood as in the mode of ignorance. Next verse. In this verse, two phases, this is Prabhupada's purport. Bhuteshu bhada vairesya, vairesya means inimical towards others, and dvishita parakai, envious of another's body, are significant. One who is envious or inimical towards others never experiences any happiness. Only the presence of the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and the Lord Himself in His plenary expansion as Super Soul. That is the vision of a pure devotee. The bodily expression of a particular type of living entity is always ignored by the devotee. There are 64 different prescriptions for worship of the deity in the temple. There are many items offered to the deity, some valuable and some less valuable. It is described in the Bhagavad Gita, if a devotee offers me a small flower, a leaf, some water, or a little fruit, I will accept it. The real purpose is to exhibit one's loving devotion to the Lord. The offerings themselves are secondary. If one has not developed loving devotion to the Lord and simply offers many kinds of foodstuffs, fruits, and flowers without real devotion, the offering will not be accepted by the Lord. We cannot bribe the personality of Godhead. He is so great that our bribery has no value. Nor has he any scarcity, since he is full in himself. What can we offer him? Everything is produced by him. We simply offer to show our love and gratitude to the Lord. I'm skipping some. Real love and devotion is accepted by the Lord. Many valuable foodstuffs may be presented to a person, but if the person is not hungry, all such offerings are useless for him. Similarly, we may offer many valuable items to the deity, but if we have no real sense of devotion and no real sense of the Lord's presence everywhere, then we are lacking in devotional service. In such a state of ignorance, we cannot offer anything acceptable to the Lord. So very hard-hitting points about what is required to actually be a devotee, what improvements are required. Next, text 25. Worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is prescribed herewith, even for persons who are simply discharging their prescribed duties. They are prescribed duties for the different social classes of men, the Brahmins, the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and the Sudras, and for the different ashrams, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. One should worship the deity of the Lord until one appreciates the presence of the Lord in every living entity. In other words, one should not be satisfied simply by discharging his duties properly. He must realize his relationship, and the relationship of all other living entities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he does not understand this, that even though he discharges his prescribed duties properly, it is to be understood that he is simply laboring without profit. The word swakarma krit in this verse is very significant. Swakarma krit is one who engages in discharging his prescribed duties. It is not that one who has become a devotee of the Lord, or who engages in devotional service should give up his prescribed duties. No one should be lazy under the plea of devotional service. One has to execute devotional service according to his prescribed duties. Swakarma krit means that one should not discharge the duties prescribed for him without neglect. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. You all listen very patiently, very humbly, very strong instructions, important instructions by Kapila Muni and Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Was that a question that was going to blossom out? Are you sure? Okay.
This question has come quite often in the classes. Even then, because the subject is today is very similar, very much the same, so I'll ask the same question. Is that, in ashram and in a kitchen, the mice and the cockroaches, they appear to be quite disturbing in the service of the Lord to the temple. And when you talk about this subject matter of violence, against other living entity, even the man, how do you really make it applicable to their life?
So, since the question has been answered many times, what is the answer that's been given many times? About the cockroaches and the mice. So, has it really been asked many times?
No.
So what has the answer been? So what do? I asked you first. No, you asked me first. But before you asked me, you said the answer's been given so many times, but you couldn't answer. And no one yet has answered.
Yeah, answered their own ways, but
okay.
Let's
hear what I think. The general principle is nonviolence, and it's just natural that we don't want to hurt any living entity. One time, I remember how Prabhupada answered. This is 26 Second Avenue. They wrote to. There were so many cockroaches, billions and billions, at least. Not that I counted them. And the devotees naturally didn't want to hurt them. And Prabhupada criticized them. He said they're there because of lack of cleanliness. But actually, if there were no cockroaches there, that would be the only place in all of New York that there weren't city where there were no cockroaches, because they're everywhere. So eventually what the devotees did, and it was with Prabhupada's sanction, basically, they turned on a tape really loudly of chanting Hare Krishna, and then they sent them all back to Godhead, as many as they could. Practically speaking, that's what they had to do. I remember one time though in Hong Kong, you remember when we were living on Cameron Road, there were these mice who were living in the rats and mice, and we didn't want to get rid of them, kill them or anything, so we moved out. But that wasn't very practical.
This story appears to be contradicted with another story of Srila Prabhupada.
You were just trying to trap me. I knew that all along, but then I walked right into your trap. Okay, no problem. Because whichever side I would have said, okay, go ahead, trap me. Now you can throw the net. Go ahead. But at least I know, because I came on that side. On this, you're coming on the nonviolent side. At least you will not kill me. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you know perhaps that story? Pandita Swami Maharaj in Bombay, how is your temple? It's very good. You are very happy, but there is a cockroach around and disturbing us a bit. Then Bhagavad said, that means you are not chanting, devotees are not chanting properly. And Sri Prabhupada said, no, they're chanting everything going very well, they're chanting very nicely. And Prabhupada said, oh, that means there's some fault in Lord Chaitanya's movement.
I know the story a little differently because Pacha Davidit told it to me. But it's similar. There are many points that are similar. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. He came from Bombay. Pancha Davida came from Bombay to Vrindavan to see Prabhupada. So he asked Prabhupada, how are things in Bombay? And he thought, oh, I have to say something. So usually when someone asks you that, if you say, oh, everything is wonderful, you feel like you haven't seen anything really. So he decided that he would have to tell Prabhupada that things were wrong. This is what he told me. So he said, oh, everything is nice, but it's not clean. It's not clean. Nothing about cockroaches. I think the rats ate the cockroaches because there were so many rats. But he didn't say, as far as he told me, he didn't say anything about cockroaches. He said, it's not clean though. So Prabhupada said, because he was just saying something. He just wanted to say something so he wouldn't appear like, oh, everything is wonderful and superficial. So he said, oh, it's not very clean. And Prabhupada's reply was that means the devotees aren't chanting their rounds. And then he felt that he had gotten himself into trouble because he really didn't mean to say anything. He said, no, Prabhupada, the devotees aren't chanting their rounds. And Prabhupada said, no, if it is not clean, it means the devotees aren't chanting their rounds. Again, and maybe one more time it happened in the same thing. No, Prabhupada, the devotees, no, if it is not clean, the devotees aren't chanting their rounds. That was the end of the story. And that other part, I think that was a later addition, tacked on. After all, it happened a long time ago. But what Prabhupada meant is that if the devotees, and he said this in Mayapur too, that he saw the bathrooms were very dirty, and then he said this means that the devotees are not being raised to the brahminical platform, because if you are brahminical and you walk into a dirty place, it will react in you. If goodness goes into ignorance, there will be a reaction. Just like if you put hot oil and water, there will be a reaction if you mix them together. But if there's no reaction, that means there's ignorance. So therefore Prabhupada concluded that the devotees were not, if that, these things exist, there's a lack in the Krishna consciousness.
There's one community in India that was called Jain.
Yeah.
And he has seen most of them all that they put something in a scarf and put it in their mouth. And when they walk there, they just, sweep whenever they walk. And once they went there, they do like,
Not all the time, not when
they're. The time.
Not all the time. Not all Jains all the time. With brooms. They all carry on brooms and walking. Some of them I've seen don't do that. In Nepal, don't they all do that? See?
Even in Bihar, the best of the best are Jains. I've visited them. The best of the Jains, they don't do that.
But they do wear the... Some of them wear this over their mouths. Some of them don't wear clothes either. Dig jump. But they're very non-violent. They're quite non-violent. I'm not sure what you're going to say, but I derailed it. And it's late. But it's hard, yet one has to know how to apply it practically. But one should be very careful about killing, and one should keep things very clean. I remember when I was in Buffalo, New York, when we were starting, the mice would, because we were living next to a field, the mice would come in, and then we'd put the prasadam on the altar, and they would immediately start eating it in front of us. So I'd think, oh, offering is 5 minutes late today. So that was unacceptable. It's a very difficult questions, these practical things. Okay, let's stop. Tomorrow we'll hear more. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai, Gaur Premanand ki jai.